Good morning and welcome to Thursday morning, November the 23rd in 2023 on When I Rise. For those in the United States, happy Thanksgiving to you all. Hope you're having a good day so far. Today we continue year A, proper week 29, Reign of Christ Sunday. And on the Thursday of the week, I'd like to take a look at the New Testament letter passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary in this week of the church's calendar year. So we find ourselves in a new spot today, Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 15 through 23. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise, meet God together in a time of prayer. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, in every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of God for us. So some of you guys might be privy to the Pauline scholarship arguments that are out there. And one of the things that we look at when we look at all of Paul's letters in the New Testament and scholars try to diagnose is how many of these may have been the original, genuine Paul, you know, the undisputed authorship, and are there, you know, letters from Paul in the New Testament that could have been written by somebody else, and they just use Paul's name in order for it to gain some credence and some influence out there, which was common in the ancient world. That hopefully it doesn't sound as nefarious to us as it could, because it really wasn't that nefarious to them. And so, like, the typical argument now in the New Testament guild is that there's probably three shelves. There's like the top shelf, seven letters that are undisputed, the historic Paul. There's like a middle shelf of like maybe Paul, maybe not Paul. And then there's a bottom shelf where, you know, three out of four New Testament scholars say this is probably written by somebody else under Paul's name, under the banner of Paul, so that it could gain some traction in the ancient world. So I didn't know that for the longest time. It's one of those things they kind of finally tell you when you get to seminary, I guess. But Ephesians kind of lands in this middle shelf. But the people I like the most, like N.T. Wright, they see no issue of Paul being the author here. But there are a couple of things that are unique with Ephesians that are different than some of the, quote, undisputed letters of Paul, including like some of the ways in which he looks at the victorious Christian life. There are some instances in the undisputed letters where he presents the Christian life as more of a struggle, one that, the main admonition is to endure to the end, that we are heirs with Jesus for sure, but we're also, kind of ensnared into the patterns of this world. And so it presents this struggle, this wrestling match, this, he says in other places, like, you know, buffeting my body and bringing it to submission so that we can actually live a holy life, right? So there's more of a struggle there. What we see in Ephesians in a couple of places, and this is one of them, is this victorious thing where, like, the same power, he says in this passage, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is working within us. In another place, he'll say that we've been raised to heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we're kind of above the fray now. We've somehow already been victorious. It's not like we're going to be victorious at the end, but we're victorious now. And so there's like this higher ground that we're already living in. And also, like, you probably like felt it when you heard this passage this morning. I mean, this is like just a couple of sentences, like really long and winding sentences with a bunch of commas and so on and so forth. It just seems kind of different grammatically than some of the undisputed letters of Paul, right? So where he's like maybe shorter sentences, a little more choppy in the delivery, but now this is kind of like long, winding sentence, like a run-on sentence. I was the king of run-on sentences when I was in school. Got it that comment all the time on my papers. So, you know, people, you know, clap back and they say, sure, you know, these are distinct. We can definitely agree that vocabulary is different. Maybe theme is different. Maybe even grammar is different. But just as anybody else's writing would evolve over time, we have to allow the Apostle Paul to evolve over time. And I think that's what's going on here in the book of Ephesians. But there are a couple times where Paul pauses his argument and he prays so that people can relish the truth that he is laying out in this letter. The letter to the Ephesians is nicely split in two. Chapters 1 through 3, then chapters 4 through 6. Chapters 1 through 3 is like this long, winding theological argument that all people belong in one faith family. And this is something that would have been a challenge for the ancient audience. As far as we know, no other person but Paul is trying to intentionally put people of great diversity together in one faith family, and then to also assume that nobody has first class versus second class status, but we're all equal. Like as Pastor Brent, the pastor I work for here at Ridgepoint, says, the ground at the foot of the cross is level, right? All of us belong there equally. And there's no first class and second class. There's no, you know, kids and grandkids of the faith. We're all kids in the faith. And so this could present an interesting challenge relationally within the community. Like, how do we get along with people that we haven't had to get along with before? But what Paul says here, and he hides it, he kind of buries the lead, but gratitude should fill our hearts with this opportunity. This is what he says in verse 16, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in all my prayers. So Paul is saying that to you, all of you, I'm giving thanks. And there are people in this church that are not Jews like Paul. And so they're from an early age, Paul would have been taught to hold some of these outsiders with great suspicion and to not give them relational access to your life because they're not, quote, part of the covenant people. But Paul's had a change of mind. The resurrection has convinced him to go all the way back to the drawing board and to start over, erase the ways in which we've carved up the world and redraw it, redraw the map. And it includes way more people than you originally thought. And so this is, I think, one of the challenges of the Christian faith. And I think it's something that we know early on as we're Christians. We begin to reckon with the love of God in our hearts. But over time, there are simply sirens and voices who try to tell us that, no, you don't have to include these people. No, you can hold these people at arm length. No, you can be critical of these people. But I think one of the challenges of the faith is that we need to be born again and again and again. And as Jesus says, we have to have that childlike faith. You know what children are good at? They're good at embracing people. Like they're good at forgiving quickly. That when they're upset, I just found, and maybe you found this too when you observe kids in community, like they're so much more eager to give people license to be themselves. It's just over time that we learn these other tales. And unfortunately, it robs us of the opportunity for community. And so what happens when resurrection power enters our life, as Paul reveals here, it gives us great gratitude for all people, including the people that over the years we've been told not to love. But the gospel tells us, no, think again. It's time to learn to love again. So with those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that we have a chance to be born again. And being born again means to now experience all of the prism of life with different motivations and different perspective. And so we thank you that as we come into this new faith family, there's a different ethic, there's a different calling that we have, and it's to be people of great love, people who worship and people of great love. God, we confess you at times that we languish in the pursuit of loving others, but we thank you that we get a lifelong journey of learning again and strengthening new muscles. And so this day, we meditate on the work of Christ, who laid down his life for the sake of many others. And we thank you that the way of love now is the way in which we show to the world the fruit of what it means to be Christian. And so God, this day, as we gather around Thanksgiving tables and enjoy time with family and friends over the next few days, we pray that you would help us in our behaviors and our speech be governed by love. And I pray that people would feel love as they are around us. And who knows, perhaps there might be a chance for them to experience the love of Christ because they've experienced the love of Christ's followers. So God, we just pray that you would wash over your church with that vision of love once more, and that people would recognize us by our love, and that they would praise you for it. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.